The Big Red Bench, Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
Getting you closer to rugby with Irish Independent Park. Epic stories start here.
Coming up on the bench, Denny Allen joins us shortly as the Rebels go down heavily to Dublin in the league final. We'll hear from Johnny Crowley and Brian Cody after the hurlers' draw last night, while Patrick Horgan looks ahead to the league final.
Certainly what all of us want in the dressing room. We have no league medal, so it's just something we want to push for and add it to the Munster final last year. And you know, it's not too bad, and it sets us up nicely for the rest of the year, you know.
We talk boxing and a major hold-up to the Knocknaheeny Centre of Excellence.
There's one well-known individual in Cork last week who was very prominent in Cork boxing circles, and he believed that Cork County Boxing Board received 1 million from the government. And he's wondering why we didn't, with that million, give it out to our clubs.
And we look at today's Premier League action as Chelsea draw against Arsenal and Everton beat United.
I don't think that we were equal in that fighting spirit.
All that between now and 7 on the Big Red Bench. Aye. At the top of the show, we are talking about the Cork footballers' defeat to Dublin in the National Football League final. I would love to hear your thoughts on today's match. Get in touch on the text 0868 104 106. You can tweet us at Big Red Bench on Twitter, as has Owen on Twitter, who says, "Lads, I think you should play some music rather than talk about that shower. Hashtag embarrassing." The thoughts of Owen on Twitter there. You can let me know your thoughts 0868 104 106 or tweet us at Big Red Bench on Twitter. Loads to come over the next hour. As I said, we'll be talking hurling as well with Patrick Horgan, Johnny Crowley and Brian Cody. Mary White will join us to talk about the ladies footballers' victory over Kerry in their National League semi-final. We'll also talk about the Kinsale Sevens. Dave O'Regan caught up with Stephen Ferris earlier this week at the launch of that. And as I mentioned, an interesting development, or rather lack of development, on the Centre of Excellence in Knocknaheeny as regards Cork County Boxing Board. A couple of their members in studio to talk about that. But first, we are starting with the footballers' defeat to Dublin today. It finished Dublin 121, Cork 27, and former All-Ireland winning Cork captain Denny Allen joins me now for more on this. Denny, a very, very poor final, first of all.
Oh, I'd say that it is one of the poorest I've ever seen. I mean, the match was basically over 5-10 minutes before half-time. I mean, the writing was kind of on the wall, and it was kind of hoping against hope that maybe Cork would rally a bit and come out with some sort of fire in the second half, but they didn't, and it just... Dublin actually disimproved as well because it wasn't being put up to them, so that's how bad now I feel that match was, you know.
Did it surprise you, Denny?
Well, it did. You work all through the winter, right? Your training methods and your matches, and you're travelling away, and they had some great wins and everything like that, and today was supposed to be, like, it's a National League final only, like, it's not a championship, but they... Like, I was expecting a good tight match between two teams, and Cork just didn't turn up on the day. I mean, that's much it. I mean, Dublin are scratching their heads, but I said Dublin are scratching their heads as well, saying, how do we win so easily, you know? So it is beyond kind of disappointment, you know? You're saying, God, where are we going from here, you know?
Yeah, well, let's talk about that then. Start to finish, a poor performance from Cork. Dublin completely all over this, all over the field.
Yeah, I mean, they just... Like, what has surprised me in the end is that Dublin got so sloppy because they knew they were so far better than Cork today. They started getting careless as well and left in two goals. They gave away an awful lot of ball, Dublin, towards the end because they just couldn't believe how easy it was. And that's the reason why Cork got the goals as well, because Dublin completely turned off and just took their foot off the pedal. So, you know, there's not much worse you can say about it than say that Cork just didn't turn up on the day and it became a farcical match, you know.
Brian Cuthbert talked about the need to win primary possession, but there really was no area of this game where Cork had any control.
No, I mean, it's so bad. Like, you couldn't put your finger on where it was. And I mean, Brian Cuthbert saying one aspect of the thing, like, it was just rampant everywhere, things going wrong. I think one of the obvious ones early on for me was that, like, which it looked like they didn't do any homework on it, was that Cluxton, the goalkeeper, was the master tactician. His kickouts, I'd say he didn't hardly give away a kickout for the day, just by standing over the ball, looking where Dublin fellas are running, and he every kickout, I'd say Dublin won, Cork hardly won one of his kickouts, which is like, it obviously appears that they did no homework on it, because he set up everything from his kickout. and they were able to get down the field from his kick out and then have a choice of who wants to kick it over the bar at that stage. But certainly he's a brilliant kicker over the ball, but there are ways of closing that situation down too. But like, he was definitely up. I haven't seen the stats on the kickouts, but I'd say Dublin's kickouts must have been up around 90% successful.
Mm. Dinny, some of our listeners actually got in touch on Twitter questioning management today and their performance on the sideline. Was there more they could have done? Could you see aspects that needed to change and didn't?
Not on the day. Like, I mean, it's too late. On the day, when a team starts performing a lot, it doesn't matter who's on the sideline at that stage. It's just a matter of like just taking your beating, because all the work should be done long before this. But you know, there was a match put in there today against Cork and Dublin, and Cork just didn't turn up. And no matter who was on the sideline, you could put Alex Ferguson and Billy Morgan and the whole lot in there, they wouldn't be able to do anything to counteract that. The damage was done somewhere between today and I don't know when, last month or last week or something. I can't put my finger on it because I haven't been there, but certainly there was no spirit there today. No, they might have been willing to try, but they didn't. They didn't come across that way looking at them, and Dublin just basically bossed them out of it, and then were able to dictate the whole match. So no person on the sideline today could have done anything to change that team unless you're going to take off 12 players and replace them with another 12, which you can't do.
Mm. Dinny, actually, it was something I spoke to Brian about before the match. It was kind of the essence that, yeah, it doesn't matter what way a final like this will go, because it's only the league attitude that there will be. Do you think Cork were kind of maybe not that bothered about winning today? It seems like a mental attitude to have, but do you know what I mean? As in, it doesn't matter what happened today. Win well and people would say it's only the league. Lose badly and they'll say, oh, Cork will go nowhere and maybe the pressure will be off.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what you said there, I don't know, might be a reason. I didn't hear him speaking today, but that could be one of the reasons, like saying it's only the league. Like, it's a winter session. They went right through the winter and they were very successful. They played well in all the matches. They last won by a point, and all right, the Derry match didn't matter. So they put in a lot of effort in that way. Like, so to be saying today then, which is it's a final of a national league still, and I don't care, I know that its championship is more important, but it's the second most important, which means that people shouldn't be saying it's only a league. It's a national league final. They've done a lot of work for it. They deserve to be there today, and that sort of attitude, maybe to the way he was talking himself, that it's only a league, maybe that rubbed off on the players and they went out in the field, because it looked like that, certainly, that they kind of, when it was put up to them and things went wrong early on, that they kind of said, oh, sure, it's only the league, and maybe they're kind of thinking what the manager was talking about, you know. One of the reasons.
Yeah, no, not to misrepresent Brian, the point he was making was that people would say it's only the league if they had gone well, but they go badly, and I'm just saying that maybe they'd look to take pressure off. But Dinny, 9 games in then, with this league final considered as well, how do you feel about Cork overall in 2015 going into Championship?
I honestly don't know what's going to happen now. I mean, I thought after the Kerry game last year, when we could have said the same thing, we felt they didn't turn up against Kerry in the Munster final last year, but I thought that there was a bit more steel in them this year, that after learning a lesson and like coming into the final today, that they were after toughening up mentally, being like that you have to get instill in them that we don't ever want to play like we did against Dublin in the Munster final last year, and here we are again, in the league final, and we've kind of flopped again. So I hope it doesn't stay that way, because if it does, we could be beaten by anybody. But it doesn't augur well, certainly, at the moment. There's a bad feeling in my gut, anyway, that that's happening twice now, once the final last year and today again. How many times more can it happen, you know?
Yeah, well, Dinny, you mentioned the Munster final. I spoke to a Kerry man recently, a good Kerry football supporter, and very matter-of-factly, he said, no one in Kerry fears Cork, and today will do nothing to give them, you know, any more respect for Cork.
Well, I mean, I was beaten by Kerry more than anyone. The one thing about Kerry, and the supporters are, don't play the matches or anything like that, but I know that Kerry, they mightn't fear Cork, but they respect them and they'll be very wary of them. They won't go into a match blasé and say Kerry or Cork are going to fold. They'll treat people with respect no matter who they're playing. So they'll be ready for whatever way Cork want to come out is fine. That's the Kerry attitude, but they'll be ready for us anyway. You know, so they won't be blasé about today's match either. You know.
Good. Okay. And now as the focus switches to Championship, obviously the Cork will go away and do their business behind closed doors now. But we'll say Alan O'Connor and his reintroduction to the Cork panel. What did you make of that when the news came of that the other day?
Well, I was very surprised, to be honest with you, for him to be coming back. I thought that, like, the team seemed to be doing well, all right. They had problems maybe in the middle of the field, but like after looking at the day, they had problems everywhere. But I think it's basically a mental thing today. It's not a... They're all great athletes and they're all great footballers, but obviously the bit wasn't between their teeth today, so... I'd be more worried about that than bringing in fellas like Alan O'Connor or whoever else. I like the panel that they have, I thought was good enough, but it's all going to attitude at this stage, and it's, you know, the steel has to come back into it, and I don't know whether Alan O'Connor could do that or not, but it is what's there today. I'd be more worried about him than what's coming in, you know.
Would you have questions to ask of management, Dinny?
I would. I mean, we're entitled to ask questions. I mean, they're doing it. They're trying to do their best, and that sort of thing. And we can use all those statements and stuff like that. But I would. I mean, I'm worried about like that. Are the team going out onto the pitch with the right frame of mind? I'm not interested in stats about this and that and everything. And that we play 12 behind the ball, and we play 4 up front, and we play this and that and everything. I'm not worried about that playing side of it all. I'm worried about the camaraderie, the steel, the spirit, all that. If you have all that right in the dressing room, most of the time things happen on the field for you. But if that's not right, you can play all the systems in the world, but they won't work. So what I'm worried about is, and that's what should come from the management and the selectors, it's a camaraderie and a spirit should be built up within the players, that they're like a club team and not an inter-county team of stars or anything, but like a club team that's very hard to beat. And you could see today that Dublin were out there and they were running harder and trying harder than us. And I'd be worried about that. And the people that are to blame for that, I think, if you want to blame someone, would be the selectors. They haven't built up this camaraderie and spirit, obviously, that we need to win majors, which is a National League or a Munster final or in All-Ireland.
All right. Well, Dinny, a huge disappointment today. But Dinny Allen, thank you very much for your analysis this evening.
Okay. Thanks, Lise.
It's the Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. Former All-Ireland winning Cork captain Dinny Allen giving us his thoughts on today's defeat to Dublin in the National Football League final. He believes they just didn't show up at all, and it's a lot to do with mental attitude. What are your thoughts? 0868 104 106. You can tweet us at Big Red Bench on Twitter as well. It's Lisa Lawler here with you until 7 o'clock this evening. We still have to talk ladies football. We're talking boxing. We're talking hurling after the draw against Kilkenny at Porky Rin last night, and we'll also talk a little bit about the Kinsale Sevens. The Cork footballers today, very, very disappointing indeed. And I have to say, it's been disappointing to see that, you know, they went behind in matches before and had the heart to come back. We didn't see that today, unfortunately. And the second goal in particular may be very much a consolation goal, but a very, very heavy defeat to Dublin today for Cork. And most people now talking about the Munster Championship and looking ahead to that. Of course, Cork will take on the winners of Clare and Limerick. Clare and Limerick clash on the 23rd. Of May, and then Cork play the winners of that on the 14th of June. That's at a Cork venue, so that Munster semi-final will be interesting. Lots of people online on Twitter and stuff saying today that Kerry will be loving today's match and will just look forward to a Munster final, maybe you know, a Munster final against Kerry yet again. But as Dinny says there, Kerry will give Cork the utmost respect as the players that they are. But as I mentioned, I met a Cork man a couple of weeks ago who said nobody in Kerry fears Cork, which was a disappointing thing to hear. But look, there's time and plenty of room for improvement, I suppose, would be the positive way of looking at today's final. But I'd like to get your thoughts. Tweet us at Big Red Bench or text us 0868 104 106. Better result for Cork sides today, and the Cork ladies footballers beating Kerry in their National League semi-final. They now look forward to a final against Galway. Mary White of the Irish Examiner and Evening Echo joins me now to talk about the Rebelettes' victory today. And Mary, another tightly contested clash of these two sides.
Yeah, definitely. I suppose up until 2 minutes to go, there is still only 2 points in it. It was a tight game as expected. Cork only led by a point at half time, 7 points to six. But I suppose Cork just kind of pulled through. Kerry were slightly lacking the fight that we've kind of seen them in the last year or two, but Cork now are through to their 11th their 11th National League final in 12 years, which is incredible stuff.
It really is. Actually, Mary, would you mind quickly running through the Cork team for us to just give us some context on what sort of a line-out Eamon Ryan had?
Yeah, no problem. Eamon, I suppose the last few league games, he didn't have much consistency. He was giving younger players a run out, but he stuck with Martine O'Brien of Clonakilty in goal. Marie Ambrose from St. Fallon started in cornerback and did absolutely very well for her, probably her first really, you know, competitive game start at cornerback. Roisin Phelan was excellent at full-back. Breed Stack, of course, is in cornerback. Vera Foley of St. Fowles at wing back and had an absolute stormer. I thought she was exceptional today. Roisin Sullivan of Mourne Abbey was at centre back. Geraldine O'Flynn of St. Mary's on the other wing back. And then in midfield you had Rena Buckley and Breach Corkery. And at wing forward you had Captain Kira Sullivan. Aisling Hutchins of Fermoy was actually moved from cornerback to centre forward, and she did a brilliant job as well. I thought she was excellent in winning ball and laying it off. And Annie Walsh of Inch Rovers at the other wing, on the other wing, had another great game. Dearna Sullivan started as corner forward of Mourne Abbey. Valerie Mulcahy started full forward of Rockbawn, and Orl Finn had another. She was another player who had a great game and had 3 points to her name.
Great stuff. And Mary, in terms of the Kerry team, assuming it was very strong as well, but how close to their championship quality would it have been, or had they a few new faces in?
No, Alan O'Neill stuck with the team that actually has done very well during the league. They kind of slipped in under the radar, and they did a great win over Manon to actually secure their semi-final place. Kerry were a bit unlucky, I suppose, in the last 10 minutes. Louise Neve Verhertig had a goal chance that actually hit off the bottom of the post, and I think if that had gone in, it would have been a tie game. And Kerry, you know, they're a side that, you know, they gain momentum big time. And I think that would have been a massive game changer. You wouldn't have known which way it would have gone. The game actually started very, very fast. The first quarter from now was very good. But then after that, the tempo of it died down. I suppose it was warm enough out in the pitch and drum collar. And in the second half then, I suppose, there was three successive points from Valerie Mulcahy, who was exceptional today at free-taking. She scored four frees from like 40-plus metres out. You know, she was brilliant. So I think Kerry, yeah, I was a bit disappointed with Kerry. I would have expected more from them, but that said, they're a great game, or a great side.
I'm surprised to hear you say that they were missing the fight that they've showed in recent games, because, you know, even speaking to Eamon yesterday, he really expected, and given they only bet them by a point in the earlier stages, it's very surprising to hear.
Yeah, I was disappointed, now I have to say. Now, when saying that, both defences were very good. But I, to be honest, I can't see Kerry competing for in championship now. It could be totally proven wrong come the Munster final. But I was surprised now that they, even I know they only lost by 3 points, but at that, just the fight, I didn't see it in them today.
And Cork's performance, Mary, by their own standards, how was it? Was there, you know, were there areas that she thought they were poor?
I suppose initially they were giving away a lot of ball. They were finding it very difficult to actually get the ball into the forward line, and their distribution wasn't really great, to be honest. Now, in saying that, what actually really impressed me today was it wasn't the All-Stars that actually impressed. It was the likes of Marie Ambrose, you know, and her first big start was very good. Roisin Phelan at full-back, she'd remind you of Angela Walsh. She was just plucking balls out of the sky. Fear Foley was another wing-back who had a great game. And Orla Finn, a corner forward, was exceptional as well. Annie Walsh of Inch Rovers, a wing forward. You know, sometimes she gets a tough doing, but because she's not a natural forward, you know, she's a midfielder. But she had a great game. And Aisling Hutchins. So for me, that was brilliant. It's not, it wasn't your typical big stars that stood up and were counted. It was the other players.
That's what's hugely important, I suppose, at this time of the year. And Mary, I spoke to Eamon for last night's show in our preview, and we talked about the importance of getting to the league, but this is their 11th, as you mentioned in the outset, their 11th league final appearance in 12 years. This is where they belong, and it's an important part of their championship preparation too.
Definitely. I think it's nearly almost habit for them now at this stage. The only National League semi-final that they've lost was against Mayo in 2007, and of course they lost the final in 2012 to Monaghan. And I think out of today's starting team, there's five players who were there in 2004 when Cork actually played in their first Division One National League final against Mayo, who they were actually leading at 6 points that day, but at half time, but lost. You know, that's phenomenal going, and I think if they actually win, I stand to be corrected on this, but if they win, let's say, in 2 weeks against Galway, which is likely to be in Parnell Park, I think they'll match Kerry's record of 10 National League titles, which is, it's unbelievable when you think about it, the longevity of that.
Yeah, they're stunning, the records that they have. And as you mentioned now, it's a league final against Galway. And before we talk about a final against Galway, but Galway beating Dublin today, 4-13 to 3-4. I thought Galway could absolutely beat Dublin, but I didn't think by that much, Mary. Does that surprise you?
Did it surprise me?
Yeah.
Yeah, to be honest, I would have thought Dublin would have been a lot better given their 16-point win over Cork two weeks ago. Now, in saying that, Cork had a lot of younger players out that day, so it was kind of hard to gauge. But Galway are definitely the dark horses of the championship this year, and of the season. And they'd remind you of Cork back in 2004 and 2005 in that they have a lot of younger players coming up. They won the Minor All-Ireland last year, and they have a lot of older heads as well, who the likes of Aveen Daly and Laura Joyce, who are looking to probably, you know, finish their careers on a high probably this year. So I was a little bit surprised, but, you know, at the start of the year, if you were to predict two teams who would be in the final, you would have picked Galway and Cork, I would think.
And it's set up to be a good one. I mean, like, their earlier meeting in this champion or in the league campaign, how did that go?
Cork would have beaten them by a point in extra time, in injury time in Moornabbey. Cork were actually down a point, and two subs came on, one in Evukala and on O'Sullivan, to score 2 points to actually win it. Galway that night were missing one or two of their older players as well. To be honest, Cork could very well be underdogs going into this one,
really?
Going into the final, which would probably surprise a lot of people. But Galway are that good. They're very fast. Their forwards are exceptional. And I suppose Deirdre Riley she's getting married on Saturday week, and in last year's league final against Dublin, it was her introduction with about 10 or 15 minutes to go that turned the tide in Cork's favour, and she'll be missing. So you just don't know what way it'll pan out, but I think Cork would probably be slight underdogs going to the league final in 2 weeks' time.
Interesting. Mary, we look forward to that. Thank you very much for your analysis this evening.
Thanks, Melissa.
The Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. Mary White there speaking to us on Cork's victory over Kerry today. So Saturday the 9th of May, it's down for that final Division 1 league final, Cork and Galway. We look forward to that. Details to be confirmed in terms of time and venue. Alright, we're going to move on to Premier League football, and we had two matches today. The later game featuring Arsenal and Chelsea, while earlier on today Everton got the better of United. But first, looking at the match at the Emirates, as Arsenal and Chelsea drew nil-all in the Premier League, and Guy Swindles has this full-time report.
Arsenal 0, Chelsea 0, a first half that fizzed with skill and incident. The second saw these two sides largely cancel each other out. In the first 45, Chelsea could have had three penalties, should certainly have had one, and missed the best chance of the match through Ramirez. Arsenal showed fabulous flair but little end product. Welbeck could have pinched the points for Arsenal at the death, but it was Chelsea who were celebrating as it finished Arsenal 0, Chelsea 0.
Celebrating a draw, that's the way things stand for Chelsea. All right, earlier on today then, Everton and United, and Shane Pennington's full-time report from Goodison, where Everton won 3-0.
Everton 3, Manchester United 0. And once again, Everton are the scourge of Manchester United, as once again they take the 3 points here at Goodison Park for a third successive season. James McCarthy swatted them in front of the opening 5 minutes before John Stones headed the second 10 minutes before the break. Falcao replaced Fellaini at half-time, but he couldn't inspire United into a comeback. And an excellent afternoon for the host was rounded off by Kevin Morales, who swept home a late third. United had plenty of possession, but lacked any real threat. Wayne Rooney waiting their best chance. Everton 3, Manchester United.
All right, Everton boss Roberto Martinez explains why last season's form hasn't been replicated consistently this season.
Of course, it's been disappointing in the league because we never carried this momentum that we have now, and we all know that the quality is in the squad, and we should have had those results, but the margins were very small and the attitude was always the correct one. We always had a real brave approach into our games, and finally we're getting the rewards now.
James McCarthy received the Man of the Match award for his performance, and his Republic of Ireland teammate Seamus Coleman says this was no flash in the pan from McCarthy.
If you watch us every week, you know you wouldn't say that's James's best performance. He's same player week in, week out. He's a top player for Everton, and the last maybe month or so he's got more of a role going forward, and you know he's relished it. He's set up a few goals, he's got a couple of goals, one against Newcastle and again today, but you know week in, week out he's been brilliant for us.
That's Seamus Coleman after Everton's 3-0 victory over United today in the Premier League. If we get some Arsenal and Chelsea reaction through the show, we'll take that to you as well. All right, still to come on the bench this evening, we're going to talk about the hurlers' draw against Kilkenny last night. We're going to hear from the Kilkenny boss, Brian Cody, his thoughts on Cork ahead of the league final next week. Johnny Crowley will give us an update on where they're at ahead of the league final. And we'll also hear from Patrick Corgan. That's all between now and seven, but next we'll be talking boxing, so stay with us.
The Big Red Bench.
Getting you closer to rugby with Irish Independent Park. Epic stories start here.
Red FM.
You're welcome back to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. I'm Lisa Lawler here with you until 7 this evening. We've been talking football, victory for the ladies, however, defeat for the men. If you've any thoughts on any of today's sporting action, get in touch with us on the bench at Big Red Bench on Twitter, or indeed text 0868 104 106. Before we talk more on Gaelic games and indeed rugby ahead of the Kinsale Sevens next weekend, we're turning our attention to boxing on the bench and an issue with regards to the new High Performance Centre of Excellence planned for Knock. Haney. Cork County Boxing Board PRO Mick O'Brien and President Teddy Barry joined me in studio a little early on to bring us up to speed on a delay to the development. I first asked Mick to explain the status of the Centre of Excellence.
Well, Lisa, where we are currently in relation to that situation at the moment is we are actually ready to go. We have our finance in place with the Minister, Minister Ring in Dublin. We have our builder in place in John Paul Construction. We have Mr. Creedon, our architect, working constantly on the whole project at the moment. And we have our solicitors in place. The only requirement outstanding at the moment is basically, I suppose, a piece of paper. It's called a lease, and Cork City Council are to facilitate us in this respect. But to date, they have been very lethargic. 7 years ago, this commenced. And 7 years on, we are still waiting for that piece of paper. And as a boxing community in Cork and as a sport, we are suffering as a result of waiting for this lease.
And why has there been a wait?
Well, we've been told by City Council that the Law Department have been looking after it. And there were adjustments and there were issues. But as far as we're concerned, we've waited. We've been patient. We've been respectful. We've been understanding. But at this stage, we as a board and as principals of that board are taking flack from our own people. There's one well-known individual in Cork last week who was very prominent in Cork boxing circles, and he believed that Cork County Boxing Board received 1 million from the government. And he's wondering why we didn't, with that million, give it out to our clubs. Well, we did not receive that 1 million, but we received a commitment from government for that 1 million on the understanding that we provide four pieces of very important documentation. We've provided all three, and we're waiting on one piece, and that is now the lease from Cork City Council.
Now, I put in a call to City Hall to see what the status on this was as well, and unfortunately got no return on it. But you mention adjustments maybe and issues. Have you met anything that they've put forward to this point?
Well, we have. They've asked us for a business plan, which we've given them, and they've asked to meet us on numerous occasions, and we've met them. And I understand on the 1st of May, which is next Friday, Darren Murphy, the Minister at the Department of Taoiseach, is meeting Jim Donovan at City Hall. But where we're wondering about all this is that we've been excluded from that meeting, and we're wondering why.
And do you think, is there any doubt around the lease at this point?
There's absolutely no doubt about the lease, but there's a question of when we're going to get it. Because as a consequence of that delay, the building and construction work in Cork is going up. The value of the building is to build it now, 2 or 3 years later, will be more expensive. Mm. And as a result of that, we're prepared to modify that building in terms of outlay. But we're busting at the seams at the moment with boxers in Cork, and we have no facilities, and it's becoming embarrassing.
Mm. And Teddy, 7 years in the process, but the lease issue, how long has this been holding up matters?
Oh God, that's winding up now. With 3 years, Mick, I suppose, is the way of getting promises. We've I'd like to add now that the lads in Cork City Council have been absolutely fantastic to Cork County Boxing Board. But to hold up with the leases concerned, we've been given 2 letters to bring to Dublin. Excuse me, to Dublin with us, so that the money from Dublin can be released. But it's going on and onwards, you know. It's like you know, you show me yours before I show you mine, you know, kind of thing. That's what seems to be going on at the moment, which is in a terrible shame because we've unbelievable quality boxers in Cork at the moment, and we need this premises badly to improve, to fine tune these young boxers. They are travelling up every Saturday and Sundays up to Dublin every week, and the expense on the clubs is unbelievable altogether. In fact, these young boxers, all these people come out to the airports when all the lads come back from the Olympics, you know what I mean? And boxing is the favourite sport for a couple of weeks, you know what I mean? But there's nobody seems to come out. Cork have nothing, you know. Cork boxing has absolutely nothing. They haven't a base to work from, you know. We're hiring out places to have meetings and all this kind of stuff. This is 100 years later, Lisa, you know. So.
And as Mick says, it's putting pressure on you internally within Cork boxing because of this whole issue.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We take back whatever information we have to the board, to the delegates. And, you know, look, I don't believe half of the lads at this stage, half the clubs believe at this stage that, you know, that we're on the planet at all, you know, that we're away with the fairies, if you like. We're trying to convince them at every meeting as such, you know. But, you know, you heard what Mick said there a while ago, like, you know, there are a few that would believe that we have the €1 million and that we're not giving it out to the clubs and all that kind of stuff. We are adamant that this building is going up to Notting Heaney, like, it's totally necessary for Cork boxing. The IABA themselves, the whole management structure, everyone is behind us here on this, like, but to just getting the release of the lease now, as Mick said, you know.
Are you hopeful, Teddy, that Friday's meeting could make a difference, or is it going to be another, you know, unanswered call?
It could very well be another unanswered call. Maybe, you know, look, we've been so many times we've been up there, Lisa, you know, only to get knocked back again, you know, by some other bit of information that's been trickled down to us, really, you know. I have to say that Darren Murphy, for one, is doing a huge amount of work for us on our behalf, in actual fact, where the minister is concerned and so on, ministering, that is. And, he's meeting with the Cork Council next week, and we hope we'll have some positive news.
And Mick, how would you feel about that meeting and what might come from it?
Well, naturally enough, I'm optimistic about something will come out of it as a consequence of the pressure we're applying right now, because, Lisa, we have all party support in Cork. We have Kathleen Lynch behind us. We have Darren Murphy, as Teddy quite rightly said, doing an enormous amount of work, and we have probably one of the most senior politicians this city has seen for the last 20 years in Micheál Martin. Now, former Lord Mayors have backed us substantially, and councillors like Mick Nugent on the north side and Tony Fitzgerald have been very helpful as well. Now, we know the rest of the 31 council and city council have backed us. The Lord Mayor is backing us, but at the end of the day, we need the people in City Hall, the people with the executive power in City Hall, to come across and say, right, enough is enough. We've looked around at the city and we've seen all the GA clubs, the soccer clubs, the rugby clubs, tennis clubs and every other sport being facilitated by city council over the years, and we've been neglected 100 years.
You feel marginalised, Mick, yeah?
Absolutely marginalised. But we think that there's not an urgency in City Council to address the issue to the extent that we want it. Now, Lisa, as I said well ago, 7 years is a long time to be patient. We've been patient and we're urging, we're asking the City Council now to respect where we are in all this and to respect our position as members of the Cork County Boxing Board and help us to achieve our aim and our goal.
And finally, Teddy, I might give the last word to you on this as Cork County Boxing Board President. Just how many people is this affecting? How many boxers, how many clubs, how many people are waiting on this?
There will be 31 clubs. There's roughly around 1,000 boxers. You know, it's unbelievable. You know, we're taking... The only purpose-built club in Cork at this present time is the Glen Boxing Club. And fair play to the Glen Boxing Club and all belong to them for putting this in power. But as far as the rest of the clubs are concerned, we're all inside in rented rooms, if you like, everywhere, you know. We need a base. We need to bring all these lads with potential, huge potential in actual fact in Cork, and we need to get them together. We need to get the fine tuning done so that we can take it upwards and onwards again and have the Kieran Dryces back again with us, you know.
Absolutely, indeed. Yeah. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining me in studio. I hope that we see progress on this matter very, 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 very soon, and we'll follow and keep updated with you on it. Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thanks, Lisa.
The Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. As you heard me say there, put in a call to City City Hall, but didn't get response from them. So that's where the Cork County Boxing Board are on that matter. And as I said, we'll keep an eye on that and how it progresses. A message into our Facebook page today from Sunnyside Boxing Club, actually. Best of luck to Saoirse Roach in next weekend's All-Ireland Boxing Championships in Dublin. That comes from all at Sunnyside Boxing Club. So best of luck to Saoirse in that. Your texts and tweets into the show this evening. Text 0868 104 106 or tweet at Big Red Bench. We're returning to Gaelic games now and we're going to talk hurling. The Cork seniors continued their preparations for next week's league final with a challenge against Kilkenny last night. It finished in a draw at 418 to 321. A goal from Dane Lee saw Cork draw level on 64 minutes, 6 points down 8 minutes earlier. 3,185 the official attendance for the Friends of Jamie Wall fundraiser, which was absolutely brilliant to see. I have to say the crowd really got into this game towards the end as Cork came back to force the draw. I think Cork actually went ahead in the last couple of minutes. I was late to this match, but forced the draw in the end. Now, we got the reaction of both camps after the game. And first, here's Cork selector Johnny Crowley on the challenge presented.
Great work, coach. Yeah, in fairness, no, we were delighted with it. All the young fellas that we had and the new lads, and they all tried very hard. Look, it was an entertaining game for the crowd. We're here tonight because of Jamie Wall, so I'm delighted for that. And there was a good crowd turned up, and I think a lot of people bought tickets outside of that. So it's great that Jamie's going to benefit out of it, and hopefully he came in and met us before the game there, and we were delighted to see him and wish him all the best. And he's a great attitude towards life, and hopefully that till come good for him, you know. With a bit of luck. Great character shown by the lads. They went behind, and like Kilkenny, as you saw it, they weren't going full tilt probably, but look, we were delighted with everyone that turned out, and I thought we tried very hard, and it was good entertaining hurling, and we moved the ball around fairly quick. The pitch was in great condition, and it was a draw. I suppose it was a fair result in the end. We thought we had a chance to take it, but look, they had two there in the end, and it just didn't happen that way. But overall, very happy with it. Good scoring, four goals is good. Pawnee got two. Stevens, great goal, and it was a great double there from great ball in from Darren, and Darren I think got 4 points or 5 points in the end there. So and it spread around, and they all worked hard, and Pat did well centre back, just being put in, and Aidan Ryan did well full back. So happy enough overall, John.
Johnny, ahead in the match next week, was tonight's workout as good or better than what you do yourselves?
I would say it was great to get a game in. Look, if you were probably playing normally, you wouldn't look for the game a week before it, maybe, because we have a lot of games played as coming up to it. But like it, being the cause it was, we had no problem in fulfilling the fixture, and we're delighted to do so. But I suppose, look, as it turned out, it was very good. We got a lot of guys got game time, and a lot of guys that weren't getting game time got it tonight, and a lot of them did very well. And there was no one did poorly there tonight. They all worked hard,
So will they have given you decisions to make a player like Paddy?
It probably will. Every night that you go, there's decisions to be made. But definitely, everything is back in the mix again now, I suppose, for the week. And we're training Tuesday night now, and light session on Thursday night. So, it will be a hard team to pick now after tonight, fellas, after putting their hand up, and we'll have to look at it. Fully fit, we've just rested a few guys there now tonight, but we're hoping that everyone will be fully fit by Sunday. I don't think we just brought Brian Lawton came off there now with a slight twinge in his, but he'll be fine. Mark Ellis is coming good, everyone else seems to be okay then. The first game back for now for 7 weeks, so it was good for Pat Cronin to get a game as well, Oh, great, deserve to win it out. Look, we're in the finals, didn't we? Haven't won a league one since someone else said 98, so it's a long way back, and it'd be great to get some silverware now after the work we've put in the league.
Cork selector Johnny Crowley there speaking to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. Now, also got the take of Kilkenny manager Brian Cody speaking after last night's challenge at Porcurin.
Obviously the game was about a very, very good cause for Jamie Wall, obviously a fundraiser for Jamie. And, we were absolutely delighted to be able to help out in the situation. The game itself was a decent run for both teams. Obviously Cork in the league final next Sunday, so they were just looking at, various options, and both teams got a chance to look at various players and that, so from our point of view, we were happy with the game as well as being very happy to come down and help out with the cause.
Yeah, you put out a strong side, you made lots of changes, but I'd say it was the individuals for you tonight, was it, looking at different players?
Yeah, absolutely, it's an opportunity for everybody who played, just to put their hands up and say, look at, this is how I'm playing, and we're satisfied with that, and we're looking at different players, and we have a few weeks to go before we play a championship, whereas I suppose Cork's toss are on next Sunday really, but that's
for both sets of teams and selectors was worthwhile.
Brian, you were at the semi-finals last week. What do you make of them, and what do you expect from next weekend with Cork and Cork?
It should be a very, very good game. Obviously, kind of last Sunday's games were strange enough in ways, I suppose. Dublin were looked to be outstanding in the first half in particular, you know, and it would appear as if they had done enough to, you know, to drive forward and win the game. But Cork came back massively into the game, you know, and won the game just at the very, very final whistle. I suppose early in the other game as well, Tipperary broke through for two very good goals and looked as if it was going to be, you know, they were capable of doing that. But Waterford came back into the game as well, and again, interestingly enough, their game was won by just at the very end as well. So set up for a very good league final between both Cork and Waterford now.
As All-Ireland champions, Brian, what do you think of Cork this year? Would you consider them challengers?
I'd consider Cork challengers every year, to be honest. There's no doubt about that. You know, anyone wouldn't consider them challengers, it wouldn't be too bright, you know. So look at, obviously they're in the league final, so the reality is, you know, the farm teams get to these finals, you know. It's not an excuse, it's not an accident, or it's not just by chance. Cork are in the league final, Waterford in the league final. They've worked their way into that position. So straight away they're the two teams that right now are showing the best form.
Kilkenny manager Brian Cody there speaking to me at Porcurin after last night's challenge game. The form teams, Cork and Waterford, in the league final. Of course, Cork and Kilkenny and Tipperary rather contested the league final last year, and we saw what happened when it came to the latter stages of the championship. So by Brian Cody's logic, Cork and Waterford will contest. I'm going to stop now. We have a league final to look forward to next weekend, and ahead of last night's match, the hurlers held their press night for the league final, and our reporter Mark Dynan spoke to Cork and Glen Rovers forward Patrick Corgan at that, and they began by reflecting on last week's semi-final win.
It was a great game. It wasn't so great in the first half, but I think in the second half we showed what we're capable of, and we got some great scores, and I think the win was a factor as well for them. Like, they're a bit of where we're shooting, like us in the first half, but we just took our chances when we got them, and we fell over the line by a point.
And the fact that you've come back before in similar situations, did that help?
Probably in a way that at half time all wasn't lost. Like, we knew we were there before and we knew we'd be able to come back somewhat from it, and we knew we had the capabilities of it as well, and we knew we'd get chances, so if we could just take the chances we'd be there with a shout. Like.
And you kept your composure in the second half, and Dublin, they seemed to panic a little.
I think if we hadn't the experience of before, like Jimmy always tells us, like don't be obsessed with going for goals just because you're losing. Like, just keep the scoreboard ticking over. There's a long half there in 35 minutes, so just keep the scoreboard ticking and see where you are in 10 minutes to go, and you see if you have a chance of winning the game. Yeah.
And the celebrations at the end, there was a real outpouring of emotion. Was that the manner of the comeback, or the fact that you're not a final?
I think it was the way the comeback happened. Like, you know, probably being 12 points down in the first half, we probably didn't have a hope. Like, but we obviously were the only ones in the stadium that believed we could, and when it happened, like, it was just, you know, it hadn't happened to us. That probably has never happened to us, coming back and just scraping by a point. But no, it's a good feeling, especially then when you have to get to when you can get to a final out of it, it makes it even a bit special, like, you know.
And Patrick, you must be pleased with your own National League so far.
Yeah, I think even we're all delighted with it. You know, everyone's delighted with their own performances, even fellas coming off the bench. So, you know, we're all going to win together, we're all going to lose together. So everyone's kind of just trying to contribute to the team, and if we all do that, the team will get on fine, you know.
And even like getting 17 points last weekend, do you look at things like that?
No, it's there's no point, because if you get 17 and lose by a point, no one cares. So it's everyone does their bit for us, as everyone does their bit for the team, and like, if everyone can contribute, I'm sure that the team will get on just fine at the end of the game, you know.
And Conor O'Sullivan, of course, withdrawing from the panel last week. Was that a disappointment for the panel?
Yeah, because he's such a great player. Like, he's brilliant. I'd say he just felt like he had to move on and do something else. But he's a great player, and we'll miss him. And we'll just have to. And he wishes us all well. Like, you know, he hopes more than anyone that we go on and win something this year. So, you know, that's just the way it is.
And the National League final against Waterford, you played them twice last year. Really scary game the first day.
Yeah, we know how dangerous they are, and we know how good of a team they are, so we'll have to be at our best to even compete with them. And the fellas in the dressing room know that, so if we're not at 100%, we won't live with them. Like. and it's the same for them as well. They'll want to be at 100% as well.
Were they playing in 1B this year, or have you managed to see many of their games?
No, because I think any time we played, they played as well, so we haven't had a chance to see them, so we'll see them Sunday now.
And what do you think, what's being made of their style, like, I've heard them described as the Donegal of hurling?
Yeah, I haven't seen it, so I can't comment on it, but if that's their tactics, it's great for them, and we'll see how our tactics get on against them on Sunday, and we'll see who wins, you know.
And might that be hard for a forward to break down?
I don't know. It's something we've never seen, so I suppose when we see it there, we'll see it Sunday anyway for definite, so we'll just see how we cope. We're not sure yet, so we'll just have to wait and see.
To win the Munster Championship last year, an 0-1, if you win a National League title, I suppose winning becomes a habit.
Yeah, it was it's certainly what all of us want in the dressing room. We have no league medal, so it's just something we want to push for and add it to the Munster final last year. And you know, it's not too bad, and it sets us up nicely for the rest of the year, you know.
And the fact that you play Waterford so soon after the National League final, would it change the game in any way, do you think?
No, this game is going to be about this game, and the championship is going to be about that, and there's going to be nothing, you know, a link between the two. It's just going to be, we're going to give it our all for next Sunday, and we're going to give it our all again for the championship, and there's going to be no tippy-tappy tactics, fellas pulling back here and there. It's all about Sunday, and that's it.
And Patrick, of course, you played in two National League finals before. What would winning a National League title mean to you?
It would mean a lot, really, because the two we played in, we never got a chance to win because we were dominated from minute one in both of them. And it would mean a lot to have one of the medals that we don't have. So it's something I think all of us really want. We're all looking forward to.
That's Cork's Patrick Horgan there speaking to Mark Dynan on the Big Red Bench, Cork's Red FM, ahead of the National Hurling League final next Sunday. That's at Semple Stadium, of course, 3:30 next week, Cork and Waterford. And preceding that is the National Camogie League final, the Division 1 final clash of Cork and Galway. So a doubleheader to look forward to at Semple Stadium in Thurles next weekend. We're really looking forward to that. Cannot wait for next weekend. We're same with Gaelic Games, and as the Intercounty League campaign came to a disappointing end today, the focus will turn now to domestic action from here on in as the Senior Football Championship gets underway next weekend. We heard from Ballincollig and Douglas last week, and we're going to hear from more clubs now. The fixtures for next week: on Saturday we have two games at 4:00, Nemo Rangers and Island Rovers getting underway in Dunmanway, while at 7:45 the evening game there at Porcuin, Dohonies and Ahada going head to head. Now with hurling on next Sunday, there's just one match that evening, that's in Dunmanway as Newcestown and Clonakilty go head to head. We've got the thoughts of Newcestown manager Tom Wilson ahead of this derby clash, and I asked him what would represent a successful championship for his side.
That's very hard to say. Like, it varies from year to year. I suppose we haven't yet got to senior football semi-final. I think that would represent success, certainly. You know, getting there is the difficult thing. You know, that I suppose we're kicking the ball away from it. We against Carbery Rangers a few years ago. We were in injury time in the head, and they came back at the last minute and got a draw. You know, that was a kind of a disappointment. No, having said that, we would be one of the smaller clubs as far as senior football is concerned. We'd be very much a dual club. All our players, practically, except two, I think, would be playing hurling as well. So it's quite a commitment from our players, you know.
Confidence levels at the moment in terms of taking on Clonakilty in the first round, where are they at?
Well, as I said, we started the league campaign quite poorly, but we've won the last couple of games now, and you know, we're hoping that in itself, like, would, you know, wins build confidence, certainly. You know,
looking outside of yourselves, Ballincollig obviously are the defending champions, but who do you think are the challengers in the championship this year?
I suppose there's no doubt about it, like, the Haven will be back again in force. You know, they had a blip last year. Ballincollig were excellent last year. We played them at the very start of the year, like, and they blew us away, and they kept that up for the whole year. They blew everybody away all the way to the, you know, and including the county final. They were excellent. I think they have started maybe a little bit slower this year, but certainly, as I said, we would always think, like, that they, even once they get their car players back in action, certainly have a very strong squad. You know, me and Will Howard is going to be there as well. You know, after that, I suppose maybe Kerry Rangers, having got to a final now for the first time, you know, might feel more comfortable about trying to get there again.
That's Nice's Town manager Tom Wilson there speaking to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. They take on Clonakilty at 7 o'clock in Dunmanway next Sunday evening. Then on Bank Holiday Monday, we have three more matches at 3:30. Bishopstown and O'Donovan Rossa go head-to-head in Clonakilty. I've spoken with Bishopstown full-back Owen Byrne and asked how their championship preparations have gone.
Very mixed. We started off the league really well, but the last few games haven't gone as well. But it's very hard when you're a dual club and you're playing hurling and football every weekend. You're never going to have your full players. We're missing, you know, Ken O'Halloran, Jamie Sullivan, Conor Dorman from the Cork team as well, and that coupled with a good few injuries have kind of hindered our preparation a bit. But I suppose coming up to championship now, when you start getting everyone back, you know, it all falls into place.
And how much has the Bishopstown senior football panel changed since last year?
Not at all, really. Still the same players that have been there for the last 3 or 4 years. Couple of new players coming up from the under-21s, like Killian Davin, Stephen O'Neill, Alan Power, making, I suppose, a go for positions in the team, could be starting championship this year.
Has there been a notable difference to your preparations this year, would you say?
No, not that much difference. Like you say, management team there as last year, so continuation on from what we've been building on over the last couple of years, you know, making two semi-finals, and just trying to, I suppose, tweak things that we mightn't have gotten right the last 2 years and improve on those.
So the first round against O'Donovan Rossa, how did you react to the draw?
Yeah, you look forward to it. It doesn't matter really who you get. You're always looking forward to the first round of the championship because that's what you're training from December or January for. O'Donovan Rossa, a really good team. I remember playing them out in Clidove last year, and they're absolutely hopping in the league. And they've got good players, Donal O'Codden and Thomas Hegarty up in the forwards. So, you know, I'd say they're probably favourites for the game, but we'll be looking forward to it anyway.
When you look at the championship outside of yourselves, who would you consider the big threats when it comes to challenging for the title?
I think it's totally open, to be honest. You know, you've got the usual teams in there, Kerry Rangers, Nemo, Castlehaven, but Ballincollig showed last year that anyone can win it, you know. Nobody would have backed Ballincollig maybe the start of the year. And I suppose ourselves, we can take a bit of inspiration from that as well, that, you know, anyone can win it. I don't think it's really any one team.
How would you feel about your chances this year?
Realistically, we're just looking at the first round game, you know, getting over Donovan Rossa, because the last thing you want to do is you go into second round game relegation battle, and that's not somewhere you want to be, especially as a dual club as well. That has an impact on the hurling, so we're only focusing on the first round, I suppose.
Bishopstown fullback Owen Byrne there speaking to the Big Red Bench ahead of taking on O'Donovan Rossa in Clonakilty on Bank Holiday Monday in the first round of the Senior Football Club Championship. The second game on Bank Holiday Monday will pit county champions Ballincollig against St Finbar's. This match at Porky Rin at 4:45. We heard from Ballincollig Stephen O'Donoghue last week, so now we're going to hear from the Bars and their cornerback Paul Kennedy.
There's very little between any of the teams in the county championship at the moment. You can see that any weekend you look at the Keller Shield fixtures, there's nothing between the teams, so it's wide open, anybody coming in it, but I think Ballincollig will be really eager to prove that it wasn't a flash in the pan, and there's no two ways about it. They're a quality side, they're well organised, and as you saw as they went on the Munster Championship last year, they are a really well balanced side, so it'll be a tough task. They'll definitely be favourites going into it, but we'll go into it like we do every championship match. We'll back ourselves and we'll give it a go, as I said, given the history and given all the county medals that are out there, there's no two ways about it. The only successful season in the Bars is winning the county senior football championship, and there's no two ways about that, unfortunately. You have to be realistic. Like, I mean, you're playing, as I said, the county champions who really came from behind. They were 9-2 down at one stage in the county final last year, so they proved their medals. They're worthy county champions. So we know we're up against it. They will definitely be favourites. We'll be underdogs going into it. There's quality players there, even Cian Dorgan there, the Cork 21s. So we know it's going to be an uphill battle, but we'll try our best. We're not taking them lightly, obviously, and I'm sure they're not taking us lightly either. But similar to last year, I'm sure it'll be very close, and it could come down to maybe just a kick of a ball at the end of it.
But do you think your group of players are a confident enough bunch to be like bring it on kind of attitude rather than cower into it?
I think every team, the minute they cross the white line, they tear into it. I mean, no matter who you're playing, be it Valley Rovers playing their first game in this back in the senior championship, they're going to tear into it. So I don't really think that our group of players thinks too much about the opposition. We just focus on our own games, get our heads right, and we'll drive on, and hopefully the results will follow as well.
That's Fáin Finbar's cornerback Paul Kennedy ahead of taking on Ballincollig next week in the Senior Football Championship Round 1. There's one other game as well, of course, next Monday, and that's the meeting of Carbery Rangers and Valley Rovers in Ballinascarthy at 6:45 next tomorrow week. We'll say Monday week, the bank holiday Monday in the first round. That's one I'm looking forward to. And we will hear from Valley Rovers and Carbery Rangers next week on the show in our build-up to that. But right now, we're going to finish up the show with a little bit of rugby and the countdown well and truly on. 5 days, 15 hours, 2 minutes and 39 seconds. A countdown clock on the Kinsale Sevens website tells me rugby players and supporters from all over the country will descend on Kinsale next weekend. The official launch took place this week with former Ulster, Ireland and Lions flanker Stephen Ferris in attendance. And Red FM's Dave O'Regan spoke with Stephen, getting his thoughts on the tournament and Munster rugby season, but first welcomes him to Kinsale.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
And are you enjoying your time here so far?
Oh yeah, it's been a great day. Right, hacking around the old head. I don't think the members will be too happy with me leaving a few holes, but no, it's a great day, great weather. First time actually in Kinsale town, so it's absolutely beautiful, and can't wait to come back.
The old head can be pretty unforgiving at the best of times.
Jeez, when you lose three balls the first three holes, you think it's going to be a bad day, but it did get slightly better. I'm blaming it in the 4.5 hour car journey down this morning, so it's all Terry Jackson's fault from Kirkry, but we had a great fun, great time, and hopefully get another round down there soon.
Brilliant. And you said this is your first time in Kinsale town, but you've been down for sevens before, have you?
Yeah, I've been down. I was down actually with Kirkry a few years back. And again, the weather was awesome. So hopefully it's like that again this year. We get a good tournament going. I know there's plenty of teams involved again. And it's just a well-run event. And I think it's all down to all the local support that the event gets. And that's vitally important for it to succeed. So for me, just to come down and, kind of be a bit of an ambassador for Kirkry to get the event up and running is a real privilege. So I'm just back from a little bit of travelling, so to come back into some rugby things is great, and hopefully tonight goes well and we all have fun.
Brilliant. And obviously, like, Ireland are doing so well in the Six Nations the last couple of years, and obviously like Munster, Leinster, there are so many Heineken Cups, Champions Cups tournaments. How important is it now for Ireland to have such like regional tournaments like this to promote the sport?
Yeah, it's massively important. I think grassroots rugby is so important to the professional game. There could be a player out in the Kinsale Sevens that will wear an Irish jersey or a Munster jersey or whatever at some stage in their career. So, but I think the Kinsale Sevens is all about having good fun, a good laugh, a great couple of days crack, and that's what everybody comes for. And if I know some of the Munster guys come down on the Sunday to give the event a bit of a support as well, and it's great to see. And fingers crossed, we can have another successful tournament.
Brilliant. And just talking there about Munster and Leinster, do you think Munster can be happy with how their season has played out? It's obviously been a disappointing result. Sometimes they just haven't gone their way.
Yeah, I think they've been inconsistent in some ways. I think their performances are up and down, and seeing the stadium full every week, and a lot of empty seats. And the guy was saying today about people not wanting to travel from Cork to go to Limerick and vice versa. So I'm not really sure where Munster are at the minute. They're a very dangerous team. They've got great players in their team, and on any day they can beat anybody. But I just don't think they're where Ulster are at the minute. I think Ulster are in a bit of high in terms of the league anyway. And I think Ulster and Glasgow are the two most consistent teams in the league. But in saying that, I can think that Munster might sneak in there and hopefully an Ulster-Munster final.
That would be brilliant. And would Ulster be your choice to win the league this season?
Look, listen, it's, when it gets to knockout rugby, I've been there in the Heineken Cup. When it gets to the semi-finals and finals, it's all on the day who pitches up. But Ulster are very rarely beaten at home. I think it's only once by Toulon, so it's one of those things. If Ulster get a home semi-final, hopefully they'll win. If Ulster obviously get into the final, then hopefully they'll win. So yeah, my bet, if I was putting money on it, I was thinking an Ulster, that's for sure.
The Big Red Bench, Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.